God is the potter, and we are the clay. Behold, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are we in the hand of God. This is Potter's Apostolic Ministries, Kaduna, bringing God's word with power through the prophetic teaching and preaching of Reverend Ezekiel Joseph Kumi. As you listen, be empowered.
Revelation chapter 1. I don't know whether to start from there, because I sincerely intend to just continue where the servant of God left off. Well, let's start from here and see how far we go. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 9. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I walked downstairs, writing a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia: unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Can you jump to verse 19? Follow the reading. We are going to be meticulous with the progression. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. Hey, no, sorry. 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter. The mystery which of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, and the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. All right. The Isle of Patmos. You know, Pastor began by explaining the meaning of an ordination. Outside of an ordination, God has no new thing to do with you. Because the manufacturer first and foremost concludes a product before he begins to manufacture it. He knows the kind of product he wants to produce. He knows the design for the product he wants to produce. He knows the raw materials that are required to make the product. He knows the dimensions of the product. So when the Bible says that God knoweth our frame, that manufacturer knowledge. When the Bible reveals that God knows the extent to which we can bear and will not allow us to be tempted much more than we have capacity to sustain, that's manufacturer knowledge. A knowledge that reaches deeper than what eyes can see. A knowledge that reaches deeper than what the consumer of the product can actually understand about the product. It's a privileged knowledge that only the manufacturer can have. Hallelujah. Such is your ordination. In fact, it's your ordination that determined that you were born into the family that you were born into. It's your ordination that determined that you did not come out as firstborn or secondborn, and you came out exactly the number in the sequence of the family tree. Then you realize that there are several things that you never had the opportunity to decide about that are critical part of your structure, and you just had to accept them. You had no contribution whatsoever to make as in why that kind of outcome was the possibility that played out. It was only John that died a normal death among the 12 initial apostles of the Lamb. The reason why he died a normal death was because he was ordained to be so. He was the only one among his colleagues that had survived the persecution. He was the only witness left that could bring perspective about eyewitness experiences in his dealing. I think one of the times we came to Kaduna, I explained why John was chosen to be the last witness. The politics that went on behind the scenes. So that's not the body. But he was the only one left. And the reason why, one of the reasons why he was sustained was because there was yet a revelation that he was supposed to pass to the body of Christ, and he had to be alive to receive it. But even though it was an ordination, that he was ordained to receive that revelation, he did not just receive it just because it was ordained. Because there are several things that are ordained that will never come to pass through the vessels that the ordinations have implicated. I took some time to study to find out. You know, the Bible says there was a man sent from God, sent from the studio, sent from eternity, because that man existed as the seed of eternity before he was formed in his mother's womb. He was already assigned before formation began, because the manufacturer concluded the product, concluded about the product before he began to find pathways through which the product can be made manifest. So there was a man sent from God, the Bible says. And then the Bible says the same came. That means the way he was ordained in the studio and the way he came, his coming was consistent with his ordination. It is possible for you to be sent from God and it was not the same that came. Another one. Another thing. And if your problem might be that you were sent from God, an ordination can be a problem. It was not the same that came. And that's why the people at the city steps will always ask this question: are you the one who is to come? We are not sure again. We knew it when it was in the studio, but when it branched into time, the possibility of corruption exists. For many of us, it's not the same that came. We don't have a problem with the manufacturer's stand. We have a problem with its expression in time. So the fact that there's an ordination doesn't mean it will be fulfilled. That is one of the reasons why when God finds a man that is faithful, the unfulfilled destinies of many other people are added to your own. So your job description begins to enlarge just because they are failed cases. And that is the reason for intensified grace. Because God has no restraint according to the Bible. Either to win with many or to conquer with few. He can use he can use one man to conquer the callings of 100 men. One man can become a nation. You know when God wanted to wipe out Israel? They wouldn't have been called Israelites, they would have been called Moselites. You say we'll begin the nation with him. In the eyes of God, Moses was more important than all those people. That's what makes a man strong. He begins to fight the walls of 1,000 people. He receives capacity to see for 2 million people. He receives wisdom to give perspective to 3 million men. Because most times, it's not that the ordinations are not set in their proper customs. It's not the same that came. John was the only one left who was an eyewitness of his excellent glory on the mount when he transfigured. When he glowed. And as wonderful as that privilege was, in his own case, he was actually the only one left. You know, Elijah thought he was the only one left. But God now had to unveil to him and say, there are 7,000 more. You are not special. It's just that you are the only one whose time has come. So it looks as if you control things. Most of the powers you wield were manufactured by the intercession of 7,000 people. He didn't know he was wielding more powers than his prayer life could carry. John was left. And the revelations of God to the church were not yet accomplished. And there was only one man that had stature in the whole earth that could receive those revelations and give to the church. I want you to see how significant this man is. Meanwhile, this guy has a track record of strong apostolic ministry. In his writings, we see the instruments of discernment littered in his epistles. It's when you read his books that you find out that not everybody that answered altar call ended up becoming a Christian. John, if I take you to 1 John, you'll find out. So he had to give us a deeper way to discern that people are giving their life to Christ. An organic way. Because if it's true that you are in Christ, and the Bible reveals that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, there will be a connection from your heart to the heart of people that Christ has accepted. Something more deeper than coming to the altar. Something that has to do with life. John took us beyond the surface and took us into the mystical. Whereas we might say Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the same narrative, you lie. Because the person that all these narratives were written about is an immortal personality that you cannot exhaust his dimensions. Each narrative was written on the strength of a perception of this Jesus from a particular angle. Whereas Matthew saw his kingliness, his dimensions as a monarch. And that's the strongest compendium of the kingdom manual. Mark saw his servitude. That he was not called here to be created. Because before he manifested, the volumes of the books contained what he was here to reveal. So, he was called to be submissive to what was already ordained not to be created. Luke saw his universal task to humankind. His substitutionary work. And that's why in the book of Luke, that's where he was called the Son of Man. A sample space from humankind that could stand and receive the judgment that was due for all men, so that all men can have the possibilities of earning the status that he had with God. So the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that sons of men can become sons of God. But John saw him much deeper. John's investigation of Jesus had to do with an intrinsic reality, his life. It was John that spoke about his life, about his organics, about his dynamics, about what made him cry, what made him shout, what made him pray for the sick, the compassion that flowed through his vessel. It was John that saw what made Jesus Jesus. And if we move to the book of John, you are going to see 18 fundamental things that Jesus sustained, which actually revealed that he was not a normal man. John knew Jesus, though, not just physically. He knew him. He knew Jesus. And if there was anybody that really knew Jesus, you will know it was John. But on the Isle of Patmos, John was not yet qualified for the next phase of ministry, even though it was his ordination. He was not qualified to enter into. Are you with me? He was not qualified to enter. Because of that, God allowed him to be exiled from civilization to the Isle of Patmos. There was a message he was going to transmit to the universal church. But the confusion of the city side, the countryside, was so much, he would not receive it there. So God allowed some problems to be stirred around his life, and he got exiled to the Isle of Patmos. After they attempted to kill him and the attempt failed, put a milestone on his neck and dashed him into the sea, only for them to recover him 3 days later. He was still breathing. So they said, okay, it's obvious we can't kill this one. They banished him to Patmos. Hallelujah. Now let us see his encounters at Patmos. Remember, he's the last witness. But even for the last witness, God did not reduce the standard that the kingdom has set for such a kind of witness in a generation. A calling is bigger than flesh and blood. A calling is stronger than the length of a generation. It reaches deeper than one generation. A calling is as deep as the color. Kings can rise, kings can fall, just to create a conducive atmosphere for a calling to find expression. A calling. All right. When he was exiled to Patmos, Jesus had to come to him again. And I'm wondering, because when Jesus came to him, Jesus now began to introduce himself to John. If there was anybody that knew Jesus, it was John. Then Jesus now began by saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Excuse me, what are you talking about? That's the father of the church at that time. The custodian of revelatory powers. Jesus came to him in order for him to qualify to take on the next phase of ministry. He needed another encounter. You see, it is needful for us to understand that if you are dealing with a mortal realm, you cannot be fake. You know, somebody believes, he says, Kai, the reason why he's coming to you is because he wants to be able to give accurate word of knowledge. This foolish person doesn't understand they see him from the standpoint of his heart in the immortal realm. His life will be a rat race. You remember that no man can receive anything except to be given to him from above. Jesus had to come to John to introduce himself to John. I am Alpha Omega. This immortal personality will keep coming. Yes. You will think you know him. Every time you conclude that we know him, you just lost it and you became unusable. Because the realm from whence you operate doesn't have any value for time. Time doesn't have authority. And one of the things that God wanted to achieve in the life of John was to deliver him from time-based perspectives and time-based concepts, for John to come into the eternity-based profile. That's when John can give universal witness to criteria, to studies. And so Jesus came to John and said, I am Alpha and Omega. How I wish there'll be time for us to journey today, because as I'm preaching now, he's showing me some possibilities. You know, many times when I begin to minister, I don't know where I'm. That's why I need to be early, so that if the first minister preaches, then maybe a window is now I'm seeing where I'm going. John. Jesus came to him and said, I am Alpha and Omega. Indicative of, it was after that revelation was divulged that Jesus told him the reason why he found himself on Patmos. He himself did not know why he came to Patmos, because it was not, he came to Patmos for long before he encountered Jesus. He was focusing on something else, but it was on the last day that he decided to tune into the Spirit. When he tuned into the Spirit, the Colossus himself began to make an appearance. His discernment of Jesus was faulty that day, because he had an idea that it was Jesus, but he was not sure. And Jesus introduced himself. I am Alpha and Omega. What Jesus was trying to reveal to John is that I don't have an ending. I don't have a beginning. But everything that forms a strong mark on John's life as to who Jesus was and the ministry he brought into the earth was time-based. Remember, this was the man unto whom Jesus committed his mother. So there were many striking moments that John can retain in his heart that he shared with Jesus, the fellowship with Jesus. And they were dear to him. Only for Jesus to show up and say, you know what? I am the Alpha and Omega. That's not good for the mind. It's not good for the mind. It's not something that the mind can hold. And the reason why this revelation came was because John was going into prophetic writing. There was a full-fledged prophetic ministry that John was entering into. And the scope of the writing that he was supposed to pen down, that he was supposed to send to all the churches in the then world, were writings that actually connect the purpose of God in the past with the current dealings that John was encountering before God and the things that will happen in the days to come. So he was being ushered into that level of his ordination. But the entry point into that level was an encounter, a reintroduction. It was going to abuse every orientation that he had received that is inconsistent with the scope of operations at that level. There are many times in God that you'll be brought into another pavilion, and then you will need to unlearn several things God tolerated in your life. And see, at that point, your flexibility, that's where people plateau. Because John had to be a different personality in order for him to capture ministry at this level. Because the first thing that introduction did to him was that it damaged his revelation, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is a time-based, time-factored kind of revelation. For everything he contacted as Jesus of Nazareth was no longer relevant. Meanwhile, he was one of the most faithful scribes in documenting and analyzing the implication of the incarnation. He was going to have to keep all that behind him in order for him to enter into the immortal scope of things. In their perpetual continuum, in the context of eternity, the context of reality. If he goes into memory lane, he will knock down because he will not be able to handle what is coming. I know you studied engineering. You went to Samaru. The time will come when the engineering you studied will become the body of your life. Because your encounters with God will suggest a change in paradigm. How many of us can survive that kind of mutation? The guy was receiving the introduction, I am the first and the last. He slumped because his mind could not handle it. How are we? He felt that Jesus had to come and pray for him and revive him. Give him some strength so that he could survive in a certain form. And the introduction continue. When he was assimilating, he couldn't handle it. He was trying to assimilate it, trying to understand it. And then the immortal now say, write the things which thou hast seen. How do you write like that? I'm talking about a writing that must be accurate, and accurate from the sense of the mortal realm. I'm talking about a writing that does not expire. It lives, and it becomes the only plumb line through which truth and falsehood can be judged. This was supposed to be the assignment of an angel. The artists were sure of their capacity to be faithful, but you want to bring humanity into this kind of... How can you prepare for this kind of ministry? Sometimes I'm short of prayer points. Because the more I study the scriptures, the more I find out that one of the golden prayer points is to ask God for mercy. How do you prepare for this kind of ministry? I am Alpha and Omega. As he's speaking, his words is giving him life. The guy is going into memory lane. Everything doesn't make sense again. With John, a new beginning had started. His witness at this level was not the same with what he had witnessed at all times. Meanwhile, he was an iconic writer. How I wish I had time, would have checked his writings. Human beings don't write like that. But after writing like that for many years, about half of his life, then the immortal comes to him and says,
right now, right now.
Now, so what has he been doing before? Just like me now, I taught for 8 years as a Sunday school teacher. And people, I have testimonies that people were blessed. And then after 8 years, the great one comes and say, you see, teach now. I say, what was I doing for 8 years? Most people don't survive this rebranding. And then the man plateaus. He can no longer ascend beyond a particular level because he's so structured into his past that he cannot dissociate himself. At any point in time when you become attached to anything, that thing becomes a burden in times like this. The principle of detachment is the only principle that can make you survive. It is because of this kind of thing that people need to, some of us will resign to go full time. It will reinvent you. And there's no amount of training that can prepare you for this shock. No amount of training. It will be by the mercy of God. He said, right now. Send your writing to the churches. Meanwhile, he was in the Isle of Patmos. And he was giving prophetic insight into every territory. The scheme of Satan that was bedeviling the church in that territory. The state of the church. And the revelation of Jesus Christ that was supposed to be the capsule through which the church could receive healing from the Christos in that territory. That was prophetic writing. There's a new trend of prophetic ministry that the church in Nigeria needs for her rejuvenation. There's a new trend because the ultimate test of prophetic ministry is ability to give direction. The gifts are wonderful, but you can have prophetic gifts and not have prophetic ministry. Direction. From Patmos, he wrote to Smyrna. The words were like law. You can't add to what he writes, you can't stop back from it. It's just good the way it is. Carries the seal of immortality. We're talking about men that will write books, and for 2,000 years after they are gone, those books stand in the. You cannot put them on the shelf and mix other books. You have left them. Those were books that the immortal had to come himself and say, write. We have been working too long with duplicates. And Jesus wants to give originals. That's what Moses was about. The making of an original. Partners. Well, I don't have time to express the burden. The burden is more. I'm talking about moments in which your strength becomes your utter weakness. The thing you were really known for becomes your weakness because everything comes, and then you need to be depend on him this time the way you depended on him to understand your call and to begin your call and to enter into the grace of the first phase of it until you became comfortable. You now become restless again to catch up. And remember, he was the last witness. If this thing doesn't hurt him, he dies. That's true. So he knew it. Please suggest prayer points that we'll give to him in this state. Can anybody help us with a prayer point that we can send to John in this? Now, so the point is this. What is ministry? I want to define it. That's just body. Our estimate ministry is so human, so mundane, so temporary. I went for a meeting and there was a lamentation in my spirit. And when I came, the people that invited me said, you didn't put on suit?
It's like the, my
journey. You read my, don't need to preach again. That happens. But the, once in a while, the great one will say, just this. Don't iron that shirt. Let it be rumpled. Wear it like that. Well, it's an experience, not a doctrine. It's an experience. It's an experience. What is ministry? Let us start. I don't know how far we'll go. Let's begin from verse 19. For every layer of your ordination, there is a revelation of Jesus that comes to you. Yes, that's the passcode. It's the vista that is available to you on the strength of that encounter that becomes your navigating lamp on that level in your exploration of God. If you are able to satisfy the demands of the immortals at that level, then you have another encounter. Because God has only one way to deal with all man's problem. One way. He will create something to answer you and then go somewhere to create something to deal with us one way. He shows you more of Christ. That's the only way. But the Lord is personality. Become anything in another is God's purpose. And you can come for him. For David said the Lord. Where time of light. But the Lord, the least is on everything in order to dispense God is. So you don't, that you find yourself manifesting for you. Lord, that will become your light. A generation of those pulpit ministers is like moral lessons. And that ran with my bishop is that what led us to the this is Jesus trying. You see, when John came into this realm, God spoke to him, became weak, became insufficient. So he had to lean on the interpretation of Jesus for him to understand the context of his deed. Are you with me? You are not with me? It seems I'm too far. I'm by myself. All right. Jesus comes to the rescue in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 20. Because of time, let's just go into it. So this is education. When you are promoted spiritually, you need to be educated. Suppose, in the culture, a new setup be demanded. There is a very concrete system that is level. When you begin to miss your lessons in the education, things that are wrong in my life, God knows they are wrong, but he is not putting pressure yet. Because there is a level that thing will not be tolerated, but it can be accommodated now. Not because it's right. There is a level where that cannot be. And so when you are brought to a new level of influence in the body of Christ, then he begins to view it. That might have interpreted your brain of chemical engineering to interpret it for yourself, to have its, your own meaning. He was not bothered about your interpretation. Until you enter that level, then he now comes to interpret by himself. You will find out there will be a difference between your own interpretation and his interpretation. Because in this kingdom, there is a concrete educational system. If you check the average Christian, he's not a student of his, or a good student of his dealings with God. Not a good student. When you find someone that is not consistent with God, it will be wrong for you to listen to him on matters that concern God. Because there's going to be a disconnect. It's going to be disjointed. The path of spiritual progress will not be clear. Because you miss classes. And John was coming into classes again. I mean, this is the father of the church at that time. Coming into classes. Even little angels will be sent to read out scrolls to him. For hybridized advancement in spiritual knowledge.
he needs to be taken to some places in heaven to see how justice, judgment, and equity is discharged. Do you know how disbalanced this kind of thing can be? And how long he had to stay like this before he began to understand? He said, the mystery of the seven stars with that star is in my right hand. Seven stars. Because when John saw him, he was walking in the midst of the seven golden sticks, and on his right hand, he held seven stars. John must have used his brain to interpret it. And there was no problem. Until the day where the real interpretation came. He said, the seven stars are the angels of the churches. The seven golden sticks we saw are the churches within the territory. So the church within the territory is supposed to be a light point. The territory is the darkness. The only light there is the church. And when I say church, I don't mean buildings. I mean people. People that the light dwells in. Right? But it's possible for you to dwell in darkness, and darkness cannot see your light. That possibility exists. Instead, the ministers called for angel and messenger. And the text that he was in the church was territorial. The angels spoke here were partners like me. A symbol of angel is this. That's this. Not a man behind. The messenger was what? I'm going to. So from Jesus' perspective, a minister, what does a star do? What's the job of a star? It shines. A minister, from God's perspective, is a shining one. Just like Lucifer, a shining one. A minister is supposed to be a shining one. That's one. Number one, this star is in a constellation. This referred to Jesus, Son of Righteousness. He comes with healing in his wings. Stars, watching ones. So we are luminaries held up in the constellations of God. What we are the of God, dome of God, the perspective of God. And it's only the church that can hold the perspective of God. Are you with me? Alright, so let's begin the journey. Based on that definition, I just said that a minister from Jesus' perspective is supposed to be a luminary that is held up in the perspective in the constellations of God. Let's do some jokes. Maybe you will see, let's see some cases where God rejected service. Let's try to investigate what was wrong with the service. Then from there we'll evaluate to see if God will accept my own service and your own. Hallelujah. Well, let us do first of all, first evidence that you are a star. It's in John chapter 3. Because a minister is a luminary that is held up in the constellations of God. I don't want to talk about what the church is. But the church was also defined in that exposition. But we are conscious of ministers. What do you call it? School of ministry. Have you heard of school of ministry? Alright, so John chapter 3. Just little indicators here and there. John chapter 3, verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all.
He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, that he testified. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that had received his testimony has his seal that God is true. First of all, we have two types of ministers. Some ministers derive the resources from whence the minister from above. Some ministers derive the resources from whence the minister from the earth. Your reality from whence you source the ingredients that becomes the ingredients that support your ministry. The reality that feeds what you transmit reveals where you are coming from. A man whose life source is from above, we can detect that when we hear him speak. He will speak from above. The content of his declaration will be things that he has seen and things that he has heard. He that is from the earth is earthly. He speaketh from the earth. Now, so if we come for your conference and we listen to what you are saying, we know whether you are a star. We know what constellation you are ministering from. And if indeed there is light in what you are dispensing. You know, you can say something, and then when I hear it, it opens me up to an experience. Then I understand your spirit. That means you are transmitting light. You are a star. You know, the Bible says, in thy light we shall see light. So if his light comes, it gives us perspective on several things that we could not categorize in our lives. Then connections begin to take place. That is proof that there is light. And just in case those kind of connections don't take place, it means this utterance is from the earth. It can be well structured. The grammar can be good. The diction can be accurate. But Jesus does not investigate the diction. He investigates the source. Jesus says, you are of your father the devil. Right? And I always say that the word of there is F, which means originate. Jesus probes the origin of the ministry. This thing this person is saying, where is it from? That's what determines whether you're operating as a star or not. All right, come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, before I move to some critical matters. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you have a good Bible, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Let's have it. If you have a good Bible, you will notice that gift is either in bracket or in italics. Let's confirm that first. Is this on your own? Is your own bracket or italics? You know the meaning? The meaning is that it was not there in the original writing. It was added. Right? Are you still with me? Okay. So let us read it without that word in italics. And know the subject of this exposition that Paul is bringing to the church.
It is what? Concerning spiritual. No gift there. I'm not saying if you read gift into it, you are wrong. No, I'm just trying to take you on a journey. And we need the original manuscript for that journey. Are you with me? You are not with me. I'm looking at my host. Whether we are on the same page first, before I move. Now, are you there? I'm still... He's a prophet, so he can say all that. Now we know the meaning of that. Now, to prove this point, in chapter 4, in verse 4 to verse 6, because the subject is spiritual. The subject is not spiritual gifts. One of the items of spiritual is gifts. One. Just one item. The thing he unveils, are you there in verse 4? He said, now there are diversities of gifts. So gifts is part of spiritual. Two. There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. It shows us that in the Godhead, there is division of labor. The umpire for gifts is the spirit. The diversities, where are you now? Next verse. There are differences of administrations or services or ministries, but the same Lord. Jesus is the umpire for ministry because he was the chief servant of heaven that played the most cardinal role in heaven's administrative system towards the fulfillment of the divine purpose. So it is Jesus that calls us. It's him that gives you a calling. He's the Lord of the harvest that sends laborers into his harvest. Are you with me? Next one. There are diversities of operations, but this one is managed by the Father. So the Father is in charge of operations. The Son is in charge of ministry. The Spirit of God is in charge of what? Gifts. But the subject that is dealing with is what? Spiritual. Get it? In order for him to introduce us into... you are not following. May the Lord give us understanding. Stay with me. In order for him to introduce us into the subject of spiritual, he gave us two principles of basic discernment of what is from the Holy Spirit. Two principles. Basic discernment of that which we can source from the Holy Ghost. Can we go back to first of all, he reveals the background of the Corinthian believers, that all of them were Ezemo. They were Ezemo before. The Corinthian believers were wizards that had encounters with the negative supernatural. Right? So Paul did not use the contemporary discipleship manual for them. He evolved a different manual that was suitable to their exposure of the supernatural. Are you with me? That is captured in verse 2. He said, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols, even as you were led. It was evil spirits that led them, that gave them direction, that gave them perspective to life. And the guys have become born again, accepted Jesus Christ. Now, my question is this. Are you still here? If an Ezemo should turn to Jesus and we assign you to disciple him, how will you start? How many of us here have stature? Sufficient stature to disciple someone that has full exposure to the spirit realm, but from the dark perspective. Your discipleship manual must be concerning spiritual. You must be able to differentiate and decipher between that which is of darkness and that which is of light. The reason why I'm coming here is because I need to explain who a star is. That's why I'm coming. A star. according to the book of John chapter 3, we can actually understand your thoughts from your speaking. Is that not so? Are you with me? Now let me take it further. Verse 3. Verse 3, please. This is the elementary course. This is the refresher course that must be conducted before we begin to launch into the heartbeat of spiritual. He said, wherefore I give you to understand. You need to understand the divine supernatural outlook of manifesting power. I know you know the demonic, but now I need to tell you the difference, so that you don't come to church and then one day when you are praying, you say, you will not be right. You'll be out of order. All right. So he said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man, what? You remember this word? Because this is the proof you are speaking will reveal to us where you are transmitting from. He said, no man speaking by the Holy Ghost will ever say that Jesus is Christ. Now, can somebody help me? Now, it's imperative. Somebody needs to help me to understand why that is the rule. Meanwhile, the subject is what? Spiritual. Oh my. Are you still with me? Can anybody help me? That's the first principle. Say, no man speaking by the Spirit will ever say that Jesus is a God. Do you have another mic? We need contributions now from the house. We need to test what you have been preaching for long. We need to test it. Somebody was prophesying the other day. He said, My people! Be not afraid. Because even me, I'm afraid sometimes. Now, God is afraid. God afraid. God afraid. Yes, that's the first principle. No man speaking by the Spirit of God will ever say that Jesus is a God. That's one. Number two is, and no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Do you see that we can know if it is the Spirit of God that is responsible for what you are doing through your spirit? I was hearing a worship tape from America, and the person began to prophesy. You know, most of us think that because they are Americans, they are accurate. I told the owner of the vehicle, please, as long as I'm in this vehicle, this tape cannot. When I analyzed, because we're going to for preaching, and I made that tape the subject of the message. When we analyzed it, we saw that was not prophecy. You don't even need the gift of discernment of spirit yet. It is very important. But in deciphering speaking, you can know the source without that gift. Yes. You have something to say? Yes, this brother is. Why did Paul say, no man speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit will ever say that Jesus is the God? No, stay down. I'm already doing this now. Yes, help us, please.
I believe.
Meanwhile, this is fundamental knowledge. Basic knowledge. This is discipleship. being given to a special kind of people. And Paul reveals that your identity in the spirit will be revealed by your actions. Yes.
Now I believe the spirit of God, the workings of the spirit of God is always
No, I don't need your philosophy. Look for a scripture. If you don't have any, you don't have any statement. If we go back to scripture in the body of Christ, 60% of Nigerian pastors will no longer be qualified to preach. Keep your philosophy. Some people here read philosophy in school. So those your statements don't have any value if they don't derive from scripture. Do you have a scripture to back up? So yes. Quote the scripture first, and then that's how we do litigation.
Before we collapse,
collect the mic. Somebody there is talking. Quote a scripture. If you don't have, send the usher back. Is it not, minister? Yes, go there. Say, based on this, you don't have an opinion that should come up here. You keep your opinion to your prayer group and the people you pastor. Share it with to them. But if we go back to scripture, you'll find out that people don't have what to say. We did it somewhere, minister conference. The question was why did Jesus come? You will not believe there was no answer.
The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. And the Lord Jesus also said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Okay.
So if a person is filled with the word of God, he can't but speak the words of God as well. That's my own.
Pastor, are you filled with the word of God? You are. Have you ever been under pressure that you said something that was not in the word of God? You have been under pressure. And what you spoke was not the word of God. Was not the perspective of God. I'm coming to that. I'm coming to the reason why I asked that question. Okay? Papa wants to bring us a perspective before we proceed. Yes, where are you with the mic? Your answer is 50% correct. So, based on your answer, the guy's heart is filled with what he says. Abi? The evidence of what is in his heart is what we got from this man. Not so? Huh?
I think what you said is nobody is speaking by the Spirit of God.
Yes, I'm trying to get him to know the specifics of.
Okay.
If you are speaking so by the Spirit of God, you will not say this.
He is the Spirit of truth.
Good.
And it's a lie to say Jesus is accursed. So if you are speaking by the Spirit, you can only speak the truth. So you will not say Jesus is accursed. You can't even say it because the Spirit won't say it if you are speaking by the Spirit.
Exactly. Hallelujah. See what we are talking about here. You, when you come under pressure, you say some things that are not scriptural. You doubt sometimes. You can despair sometimes and say, why is God doing this? Meanwhile, that's not the emotion you should sustain in that matter. Huh? But you are different from the Spirit of God. And if it is true that the man that is speaking is actually transmitting from spirit station, he cannot discredit the ministry of Jesus. That utterance by the Holy Ghost cannot discredit Jesus' ministry because of Romans chapter 5, verse 10. There are two sides to salvation. One is legal, the other is organic. Jesus is the one that provided the legal premise upon which the Holy Spirit's ministry today is based. Are you with me? You're not with me? Okay. Let's assume we don't have media people. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Quickly. According to the scriptures, the Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death
of his Son. So the first aspect of our salvation is legal, is reconciliation in nature. The first aspect of our salvation has to do with the satisfaction of the claims of divine justice. And Jesus satisfied the claims of divine justice. That's the legal side. Then we have the living side. Now that we are reconciled, the Bible says we shall be saved by his life. So there's an ongoing protocol of salvation that is going on in you right now because you have the Spirit of God. Are you with me? You are not with me. There is a renewing that is going on in your mind. Some things you believed in, some things, and then the Holy Spirit brings illumination, and suddenly you begin to disbelieve some of those things that you believed in that were not accurate. It's a renewing. The salvation process is still on in the organic context. It is the Holy Spirit that is doing the organic side of the equation. It's Jesus that did the legal side of the equation. So they're actually doing the same thing. The Holy Spirit is implementing the implication of Jesus' legal provisions. So the Holy Spirit cannot be in contradiction with what Jesus did, because that is the very premise upon which he has a ministry in our hearts at the moment. You get that? Secondly, the Bible says that no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In order to explain this, we may need to go to the Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because somebody in the audience might say, a non-believer can say, Jesus is Lord. That's not what that scripture is referring to. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because of the heart-mouth relationship. The heart is the faculty that has the capacity to believe. And the mouth has the capacity to speak that which the heart has believed. So when you believe, it becomes real in the spirit. When you speak it, it becomes established. That no man ever journeyed with God to the point of accepting the Lord Jesus and confessing him as Lord, right? Accepted that he is immortal, that God raised him from the dead, that death doesn't have power over him anymore. That reaction cannot take place except by who? The Holy Spirit. So if you look at those two principles, the basic principle, you will see that if you are under the unction of the Holy Spirit, there are things that you can say and there are things that you cannot say. If you are a star held up in the constellations of God, there are things that you can say and there are things that you cannot say. Are you with me? Just like that person that says, my people, be not afraid, because I get afraid sometimes. Now you know this one is transmitted from a different source. There's something wrong with this utterance. Are you with me? Alright, so that's first principle. Are you with me now? Let's check a few times when people did things to the best of their knowledge. I was the best I could do for God. And the way God responded, then I'll bring out some points, then I will end, because I was supposed to end by 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. No, 1 Chronicles. 15. From verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, and for Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up. Sanctify yourselves, ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not after the due order. I know you know what he's talking about when the ark came to the Philistine border and he got into Israel, and they wanted to transport the ark with Philistine technology. They put the ark in a new cart, a new technology. Meanwhile, the prescription as to how the ark should be transported was enshrined in the scripture. It was supposed to be borne on the shoulders of sanctified priests. But they felt this might be a new way of... See, the point is, we are in service to a spirit. And this spirit has its own way of acceptable service that is not subject to modification. So he killed because he wanted to draw their attention to the fact that he has been violated. And that is to say that if you don't know the ways of the spirit that you are serving, there is a likelihood that you can come up with a new technology, a new cat. And when we look at the landscape of the church in Nigeria, we see new cats of all kinds. And David said the reason why he made a breach upon us was because we did not seek him after the due order. So what exactly is the due order? Are there recommendations in scripture to unveil a due order of the service of our God? How I wish I had time to list some of the new cuts that has come into the body of Christ in the last 5 years. New cuts. The first new cut I found it somewhere in Ilori. They called it Glory Realm Dimensions. Glory. Meanwhile, according to the scriptures, one of the evidences that your nationality... Are you with me? You're not with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. One of the evidences that your nationality is in heaven, that your country of origin is heaven, that you are just merely an ambassador on earth. One of those evidences is your walk of holiness. The heavenly lifestyle, the heavenly culture is brought into the earth realm and modeled among humankind. A life that is altogether separated to God, that derives its origin from the nature and the preferences of God. That life is supposed to be a story that is told among men about our nationality. That is the strongest evidence that your true reality is held up in glory. It's a very concrete, different kind of lifestyle that gives preference to the perspectives of God. A lifestyle that is the culture of heavenliness. That is the proof that we are citizens of heaven. Alright? So when you hear a man talking about, because what Mani warned us, he said there is
an age coming where Christianity will be spiritualized. What he meant by that is that we will be seeing the context of the glory perspective without emphasizing how the building blocks of that system are built cognitively into the physical perspective. In fact, your ministry is not apostolic if you don't have the wisdom to build our glory realities into superstructures in the natural. It takes apostolic wisdom to build the kind of temple that Solomon built in his time. Because the temple was built to capture the dimensions of the angelic. The temple was built to capture the dimensions of cherubims. The temple was built to capture the office of God. The temple was built to capture the offices of human servants and priests. It was supposed to be an amalgamation of dimensions and realms, captured in the physical, not in the spiritual. Are you with me? Okay, do you know what happened to you when you gave your life to Christ? Glory dimensions were trapped in your vessel. That's how that temple was built, to trap glory dimensions and to mix it and mingle it with natural dimensions, so that natural and glory dimensions can interact freely. That's how a shrine is built. It was built and designed to trap dimensions in the unseen realm, in a place where it is accessible. But we have a people that are rising, that have a good perspective of how the layers of the realm of God are, and there is a total disconnect with how those dimensions are built into mortar structures, so that we can be lampstands within our territory. Such kind of preaching doesn't emphasize the budding of being a witness. Witness in the scope of good works. Because Jesus said that our light will shine toward men when they see our good works. That is the evidence that where we are transmitting from is from yonder. We are stars. But our vessel contains precious realities that you can see manifested through our conduct, through our character. It's a bad day when a minister of the gospel has no basic integrity. In my own opinion, you stopped being a licensed preacher. A minister will tell you that they want to borrow some money, and then when it's time to pay back, there's a fight. You lost Jesus long time. You don't have a right to stand before people, because you are not known in heaven. With that conduct, you will never be admitted into Zion. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. I say Zion, that administrative headquarters of God, from whence things derive. If you don't have access there, you have no business around the people. So, a glory realm man can go to a damsel and say, I marry you. Then the damsel say, I marry you. Then they start living together. Because, you see, their reality, where is it? Is in glory. Kubasam. But you don't understand that it's because of our citizenship that we are ambassadors. Whereas, it took a declaration of faith for you to become a citizen, for you to be given an international passport. But it will take a lifetime for you to be an ambassador. Have you heard the scripture when Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon an hill that cannot be hid. And then we see young believers that have not gone through basic discipleship. They don't know the Lord Jesus. They are trapped in bogus words and bogus things And they don't know that they are under the influence of a spirit of deception that has crept into the body of Christ. In the days when men lose their way, may you still have little light left. We also saw another new cat of the grace movement, which is an attempt to cut off organic Christianity. I mean organic, the living God on your inside. We don't only have the Bible, though. It's not only the Bible we have. We also have a God that is alive and is living inside of you. And so when you offend him, he will express his displeasure that he's offended. And if you still are in his service, you know it is not a good thing for you to quarrel with your master. You will seek peace. Because our journey is like the journey of Abraham. When God says, come out of your country, come from among your people, come from your kindred, and you will go to a land that I will show you. The details of the land were not revealed. That means Abraham will have to survive by every vision he saw, every dream he saw, every prophecy that was given to him was part of the map. If you are living that way and migrating that way, you will not quarrel with God. Because if you quarrel with God, you will end in Haran. If you quarrel with him, you will make peace quickly, because that's the only way the map, the next phase of the map can come. However, the grace preacher says that a believer doesn't need to confess his sin. What the grace preacher is trying to achieve is to kill organic Christianity, where the living God dies and then we live by the letters which kill. A new cat. He said the reason why God killed was because we did not seek him after the due order. People have devised how not to be stars. They have devised how to be earthly and yet to retain spiritual language. And they call it ministry. It's the ministry of death and destruction. And there are many people that have been caught up in this great traffic. We also have a new cat of prosperity without purpose. If we go and take an inventory of this congregation here, the average person here, his goal is that he needs to make another million. Meanwhile, he doesn't know the purpose of that. Jesus never recommended that we should pursue money. Why? Because if you pursue money as your ultimate pursuit, mammon will possess your soul. Mammon. It will possess your soul. Most of you are servants of mammon. You know, you don't know. But Jesus said, there are only two lords that are available. It's God and mammon. And you cannot serve two masters. Most of you serve mammon. That's your real motivation. And if the funds are not coming in, you are ready. But that's not a contract. Your call was a call to service and to give pleasure to the king that felt you were useful to be part of his kingdom administration. In the realm where his authority is, there is no currency. So he gave us the only approved mode of having financial and material support allocated to you from the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There must be priority in that matter. That's the reason why you are doing what to do. And as you keep going, a time will come where the favor of God, by reason of a decree, will cause what you need to prosecute your divine purpose to navigate in your direction. That's the only way you can handle money and cannot be corrupt. Have you not seen that every promotion you have, there is a vanity that is attached to it, even if it's promotion to pastor? My prayer partner that we used to pray in the village, I went to school to come back, he was made pastor. So I was coming to him like I used to come before. I didn't know they had the building. So he sat down and gave me hand. And then told me that He knows I'm not aware, but he's faster. And in our relationship, it's only if he extends the hand that we can actually achieve a handshake. The extension cannot come from my side. So I announce it. 10 years later, our village church invited me to preach, which is against the constitution. When I came, they heard that stage. We have been hearing your name. And we said, this boy is our son. So we called our son to come back. Now that thing you are doing there, start from home. These elders, you don't understand. Elders that when I got there, they gave me a seat. So now, and I'm like, no one answered. They looked at me. Meanwhile, three of them were deaf, and they began to hear during that service. Then I now did like this again. So then they now did like. No, not this one. No. That pastor now heard that those elders invited me. He now came to me and said, why are you leaving us behind? No, he made his choices. He was corrupted by an ordination. He was not big enough in his service with Jesus. He was not bigger than the title. That means he was not ordained at the right time. His love for Jesus did not trivialize the title. He felt he became significant because of the title. Meanwhile, God can kill because people don't serve him according to the due order. Because of this, I sound a warning. The greatest casualties in ministry will be found in our generation. Greatest. People will die young. Many will die even without getting married. Before they get married. There's a new cut. We have utterances that have been spoken that did not derive from the constellations. Strange things have come up. Strange platforms. Strange people. All in the name of God. If only you could go through the curtain to see the light, the Shekinah, of that glows. Fear. Fear will grip your heart for a lifetime. Many have not gone close enough to see the one that we claim to be serving. We are going to pray for the church. Especially for young ministers like me and you. That will not be subjected to the Uzzah experience. The Uzzah experiment. The Uzzah experiment. The Uzzah experiment. Those days must come back when a man of God say, this, and it is this for 10 years. There is something in the structure of heaven that has been built into his heart like a software. He looks like the God he represents. Men that will not say that which the Holy Ghost is not saying. So that it will be easy for us to find direction in the body of Christ. Save our generation. Save our young ministers. Save our people. Save our people. Save our people. For many of our hearts have believed a lie. Many of us have taken to paths that lead to death. But deception will not allow us to awake from our slumber. Save our people. That your hand might be strong. Cities like Akure, Lagos are almost swallowed up by the new cut.
And if you stand to bring perspective and to bring correction, you will know that there's a civil war in the body of Christ that is as old as the ancients. I speak in parables. But God needs to save us. Can we pray for the upcoming generation? Can we ask that God will yet redeem his inheritance by raising stars in the constellations of God? There is an attempt from the kingdom of darkness to kill Christianity. It was programmed into our generation. Darkness rises with different kinds of philosophies. Oh, you have not heard, Pastor. You have not heard. Wait. This prayer is not complete. You have not heard the new doctrine now. Quantum optics, the nexus of, you know, a movement began in the US by a quantum physicist. And most of our gullible brothers have been caught up. Christianity without Christ. A new code, a new kind of discipleship, a new cult has been introduced into the land. A young man came to my office for counseling. He says, a minister. That one has told him. He saw how he had been walking in glory. So I said, this is great. Have you written Wayek? That's what we started with. Have you written? Go and write my letter and go to the university. When you graduate, come back. He was very disappointed. He was expecting that when he comes to the office, I will now that my messages have encouraged him. So he was looking, he fought to come into the office. He fought. Go and write my letter and go back to school. When you are finished, come back. I'll be willing to accept you. He left with anger. So he's the one that by locates on Facebook. He will show a picture that he was here now and then he moved. Meanwhile, Jesus revealed to us the basic signs that a believer should expect in his life as a supernatural manifestation. Are you with me? Jesus can make you transport from one place to the other. Jesus walked on water, but that is not a doctrine. It's not. God can do that if he wants to do that, but that is not an expectation a Christian should have. You cannot be doing so and so expecting that Jesus should transport you. Scriptures reveal to us the scope of the supernatural that will be commonplace as backup to confirm what we preach. If God transports you, to God be the glory. That's an exceptional case. It's not a doctrine. The fact that something is in the Bible doesn't mean it is didactic. It's not a teaching of the Bible. Have you heard in your scripture that stolen waters is sweet? It's in the Bible. But it's not a teaching of the Bible. You can see that Jesus walked on water. It's not a teaching of the Bible. I've seen people trying to teach the technology behind Jesus walking on water. They have gone out of the didactic scope of things. All kinds of funny things going on. And when you, the other day, I saw some people that will pray, then they'll go outside and check the star to know if their prayers will be answered. That one has not come here. Thank God for your city. That was when I opened Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1.
That was a scripture I preached that put me to problem today. Where's Jeremiah? Here. He said, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. I began to talk about the way of the heathen. They call it starry alignment. Meanwhile, the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. The best sign, the greatest sign that God is in the earth is you. But we have a new cat. Liturgies, books have been written, going to the publishers with a new cat. Can we ask God to save our generation? It's coming like a wasp. And there are only a few men in the body of Christ that are actually seeing the warfare of the age. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Are you seeing the destruction? Can we pray that God will deliver us? So you are now seeing why they will stand and talk and say, we reject this thing as can. Our house is like the house of Jacob, where every wife is the one that names the child. A wife will give birth to a child and then name the child as the name is an instrument of war. He's speaking to the other woman. You understand that kind of warfare? It was only in the day of Benjamin. And it was his heart trap that gave birth to her. And she had already named him with her death breath, Benoni. Even though the man knew he had a burial after that naming ceremony, he canceled that name and said, you shall be Benjamin. We are talking about the revival of the masculinity of the church, so that the voice of the church can be restored, so that the many voices can be quelled. Deliver the church in Nigeria. That's the prayer. And just in case the axe head of falsehood has pierced into your soul, you may wish to ask God for mercy right now. Let us pray. There is a war. And we need to ask God, where are the teachers in your body? This challenge is for the teachers. The man of the book. The man whose lips must continually keep knowledge. Can you ask God, help us? Help us! So that your heritage will not be trodden underfoot. Mahasabaha.